Hey, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tara.
And you're listening to
Growing with Letty and Lucy.
Oh, I'm so obsessed with this thing. It's ridiculous.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Tara. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Got done with Tuesday school, so we're plowing right along with our week.
Yeah, this is our super early morning. Oof. My son has band at 6:40 in the morning. I know. So it's kind of a Mondays, he's at home, so it's fine. I just wake him up and go back to bed.
Oh my gosh, we have to take him there at 6:30.
Yeah, take him over and I get back into bed and go back to sleep, but it's still, it messes with my day. But we're through it. I'm drinking my Lettuce Grow water. I accidentally, then we'll talk about kind of our process, but I was maintaining my stand yesterday, Wow. I took AP early morning.
You know what? I didn't. And I couldn't talk. I actually had my mom write a lot of my papers, but I turned out to be a pretty good
But
writer.
No, but it's funny that like I still say things like that.
I like maintaining. It's a good word. New word. Let's get that in Merriam-Webster's dictionary.
I was maintaining my my stand yesterday. And I accidentally cut an entire giant one.
Wait, you cut what? You froze.
Like a main stalk of basil.
One of the big guys.
A big one. Big daddy one. So I'm learning. I threw it in a bunch of it in salad last night. I still have some in the fridge. And I chucked a ton of it with a bunch of mint that I also pulled off the stand yesterday. Into some water in a pitcher and have it in my fridge, and it's delicious.
That's amazing. I actually kind of did a similar thing, but I wasn't maintenancing anything or maintaining anything.
I think, maintenancing might be a word, but it I think might I said maintenance, whatever. Go ahead.
It's all good. I cut a bunch of basil yesterday but because I'm getting ready to reset my stand. And
so okay.
I was like, I'm not doing any nutrients in it right now. Like I'm just kind of using what I've got and like, you know, waiting to have 4 hours to like, I don't even know how long it takes. I've never reset my stand.
You do not need four hours.
Really? Is it less than that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I did mine a while back, so maybe you will because you've waited so long. Oof,
it is so dirty. But I'm getting ready to redo it. So I'm like, kind of just like the last group of seedlings I had were, they came in to replace a bunch of dead ones because of the heat. And they came in when it was like 105 billion degrees outside. It was literally I think my car said it was 130 in my driveway. But it was 100, probably 20 in real life. So hot. None of the seedlings lasted. Single one of them died except, one. And it's my rainbow chard, but my sister looked at it today and she was like, what is that? Cause it's so skinny and wilty and like growing downward. And my other chart on the other side is like growing up and gorgeous. But so
it's kind of like there's this weird thing with lettuces, right? Like I have a weird summer lettuce on mine that I got during the similar time. It didn't quite that hot here. It got to about 105, but it does this weird like premature bolt, right? So if you leave your lettuce too long, it gets real long and narrow and bolts, and then the leaves turn bitter. But if it hits its temperature, some sort of weird temperature thing during the like adolescence, it will also kind of bolt.
Yeah, that's exactly what all of my romaines bolted and like grew straight up. And I was like, well, I'll eat it anyway. And then I was like eating it, like making a point to my kids. No, this is good. This is real. Eat your salad.
Yeah. But really, you know what? I had that giant romaine that I have is on the Instagram page. And I think that that happened to it, but it didn't bolt late. Right. So it's not because I left it on. So
it's just, it started.
I was tasting it as I went. It wasn't really any more bitter than a normal. So I think if it's just kind of an abnormality, I think it really has to be like bolted because you left it too long, then it gets yucky. But
yeah, no, mine was okay. It was a little bitter though. It was just like, but it also, I planted it at like right at the peak of the heat.
Yeah.
So, you know, but anyway, so I have basil and then I had, two things of cilantro from my farm box, not from my farm stand, because my farm stand cilantro is dead. And I had some Italian parsley too. So I made a chimichurri-ish today.
Nice.
I'm super excited. It's in my refrigerator right now. Excuse me.
That sounds like it would be delicious on cachari.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to make cachari. I made cachari. And I'm going to put a little olive oil on it and a little chimichurri-ish on it.
Yummy.
And that will hopefully make it feel different. So if you don't know what cachari is, Tara and I really like doing things together. She's like the cat to my nat.
Maybe our next podcast will be about
Ayurvedic eating.
Ayurvedic cleanses, since we are currently in the middle of a...
We are doing an Ayurvedic cleanse. So we are really into cardamom and coriander and not curry. What's the other one? Cumin.
Cumin.
And cumin. And then all the like Ayurvedic things, like everything that says.
The, what do they call the warming spices?
The warming spice. That is why I'm sweating, because it is not hot. And I
write that on your little log of things that you're noticing.
I am sweating. All the time.
That's good. That means your metabolism is probably kicking into gear.
Speeding up. Well, we're drinking this tea of not cardamom. It's coriander, cumin, and what's the other one?
Fennel. That's the key. That's what makes it yummy.
Yeah, that is what makes it yummy. And I added agave to mine today, and it's actually really good. I've been doing
maple syrup. And I was going to tell you, so now this is turning into a whole nother podcast, but I did the cachari cakes. So I blended the rice and the cachari together, made cakes, fried them up in a little bit of ghee, and then made like a little yogurt sauce. It's in the cookbook.
That's right. It is in the cookbook. Do you know that? Who wants to know what a big nerd I am? I typically read books on my phone when I'm putting my kids to bed and like have it on dark setting and have my Kindle app on my phone, whatever. And because I've been prepping for this thing, I've been reading the 40 Days of Enlightenment cookbook.
Nice.
And so I forget that I've read it because I'm tired and I'm falling asleep. I'm reading.
So mine is currently in the kitchen because I was making my yogurt sauce, but I will just pan down here because I am sitting in my bed as we record. And I have
I love it.
40 days and Moosewood cookbook.
You guys, I have to brag for a minute because I feel like the luckiest girl in the world. Not only do I have a darling husband and two beautiful children, but I have a kick ass and amazingly thoughtful co-host on this show. Like 2 weeks ago or so, we were talking about the Moosewood cookbook. And we were talking about the Green Goddess dressing and like chimichurri-ish and all of that kind of stuff. And I had never heard of Moosewood before. And when Tara started talking about it, I realized that the day before I was on my local Buy Nothing group and I had seen a Moosewood cookbook. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like I've never heard about it before. Now she's talking about it and I saw it yesterday. So I was telling her about it and I was like, hey, I'd love that cookbook. And they're like, it's already gifted. So, which always happens to me, but whatever, I don't need it. I didn't need it from that group. And then Tara asked for my address. So I thought for sure she's just gearing up for Christmas cards because she's, you know, the one to do it. I don't even know if that's true.
every 5 years, I send one out that comes after New Year's.
Oh, yeah, me too. So I was like, yeah, here's my address, whatever. And then last week I got a Moosewood cookbook in the mail from my sweet love, Tara. Aww. And I was so happy. I was like moved to tears. And then later that day, she was like, oh, there's supposed to be another thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? Another thing. And then later that night, she sent me a candle. Oh my God. I can't even, my 5-year-old was saying, I want to shave this into cologne. Like he just wants to wear it. It's my exact most favorite scent in all of the world.
Well, and that is exactly how things work with us. Cause it's my favorite scent, but yeah. Obviously Volcano from Anthropologie. Everyone loves that one, but
best. So,
well,
yeah,
just
so
credit
work person,
credit where credit is due is, I have friends who have asked over the last couple of weeks, you're doing a podcast? How do you even do that? How did you learn how to do that? And I say, what I do is I log into Zoom, which I can barely accomplish on most days, and I chat. And then my friend Stephanie, who is a podcast expert, does all the rest of the stuff.
Which is really funny because it's kind of true. It's,
talk.
It's so like, it's great. But I love it. Anyway, so we wanted to talk about root trimming, which isn't
maintaining.
Root management, farm stand root management. I can't read your expression.
Do you want to talk maybe just briefly about your kind of just, I know we both said we go out and we check our stands or whatever, but once a week you really go out is like your once a week thing, right? Do you want to just like run through what you do once a week?
Sure. I go through.
And that can include the, you know, root trimming.
Yeah. So I go through, I actually haven't trimmed in a minute and I can hear it affecting my water, but it was just so hot. I didn't want to be outside more than I had to be. But my husband made a good point the other day. We were having a very socially distanced, dinner in my friend's backyard. We do it every few weeks and it's wonderful. And he said, no, she's the person who bought the farm stand that I mentioned in episode 1 for her husband and for his birthday present. And he, you know, it wasn't his choice. So I don't think he like is as gung-ho about it as we are. And he's like, oh yeah, I put it together. And then I kind of forgot about it. But we were talking about it and he said, you know, I think it's satiating this need or want for like a baby. He was like, it's like she's got a newborn. And so she's tending to it and like caring for it. And it's so true because I don't have, I'm not having any more babies, but I am nesting this thing. So my kind of weekly thing is obviously the nutrients, putting the nutrients in. And I check it every couple of days when it's really hot to make sure that the basin's full.
And you have a little goblin with you.
I have a little goblin.
Yeah, show Terry's chocolate face. Is it chocolate?
It is. It's actually, no, this one's not chocolate, is it? It's a great popsicle. So,
you check yours every few days because of the heat. Mostly,
I check the water every few days. It's cooling down, so I'm not as worried anymore. I do my, this is a good point. I do my nutrient maintenance once a week. Now, the reason this is a good point is because I thought you were supposed to do your nutrients every time you filled it up with water.
Right.
And so I was blasting through nutrients and I was like, geez, this is getting expensive because I'm putting it in. And I'd seen somebody had said that I was supposed to do that when I first got my stand. And so I was like, oh, I guess I'm just supposed to keep adding up. And then Lettuce Grow commented one day when I told somebody else the same thing. And they're like, actually, ding dong, that's not true. But they didn't call me a ding dong. They're like, actually, that's not true. You just need to do your nutrients one time a week, no matter how low your basin gets. So that's really good to know. So now I really do only have to like tend to it once a week. So I check the water. So
I actually think I saw that exchange too on the thing. On the community group, that they were stop giving bad advice. I will say again, with my love of Lettuce Grow, hi Jacob.
We love you.
Yes. They are so on it on that group. Absolutely. They don't have to be. And I think it's to their advantage, but because you see other groups where people are just spouting like, well, you and I, again, we're always doing something. See like random, like Weight Watchers, like groups where people are like, oh, it's actually this. And in my head, I'm like, that's completely wrong. And that you're saying that.
And then nobody corrects it or nobody like tells you which one's right. So you're left to your own devices, but let us grow.
It is good. Yeah. It's good that they come in and say,
yeah, they're really good about that. They come in and they're like, they correct the path and they comment on everything. It's just, it's really their customer service again.
Hey, and not just customer service, their social media. Some companies have not figured it out. They think social media is just about advertising.
Yep.
And they don't realize that building a relationship is such a 100% huge aspect.
And I should also say this, Tara and I are not paid by Let Us Grow. This is not a branded podcast. This is
that's
our
a good point because you would think it was.
You really would. Like, we're just totally obsessed. We love doing this and we love what we are able to produce from our farms. And I'm telling you right now, I would never even have thought about putting like rainbow chard in my dirt garden ever. And it is my number one thing. Like my kids eat it now. Like everybody loves it. I add it to everything, you know, but this is not a branded content podcast. And I do produce those if you want to hire me for that. But however, this is not that. This is just our thing that we love. If you want to check us out, let us grow. We're down. But in all seriousness, I just want.
But it will allow us to also say things. I mean, it's not like everything is going to be 100% perfect all the time.
No, absolutely. And this is our time to.
We will tell you when we struggle. When we struggle with it.
Absolutely.
Well, so the interesting thing is, you had the opposite issue that I had. So you were having to fill yours several times a week because it was so hot. The first June and July in San Diego, or at least the beginning of July, was incredibly cold and overcast here. Huh. So I actually was not even fill. And then I was like, am I supposed to be? And from what I could gather, no, like my water was not going down. I had plenty of water. Oh, wow. So I wasn't even topping my water off every week.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I was like, do I need to be then putting nutrients in? But yes, you still do need to put nutrients in every week
because they're getting
even
absorbed.
If you're not adding water. Yes. Cause they're eating, that's their food. They're eating it.
Right.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
Eventually that nutrients is getting, you know,
and that's actually takes me to something else. Another thought is the pH balancing, because you only need to check the pH once a week, which is another thing. I do it most of the time, but I also sometimes I don't do it at all. But I've seen some people.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm really bad about the pH.
I am
and
too.
It might be issues that I've had with my vegetables. It might be that.
Totally. And I've seen people say, oh, like I can't put any more pH down in it, or I can't put, you know, I don't know how to fix this. You know, because I put my nutrients in 4 days ago and it's too high or it's too low or whatever. You only need to check it once a week. The intended purpose of the nutrients is to be absorbed, which will naturally change the pH of your water. So the nutrients go into the plant. The plant, I don't know what they do, but they do something and like probably excrete something, or maybe they're just draining the water. I don't know what they're doing, but whatever they're doing, I am not a scientist. They are changing the pH of your water, and that is okay. It is not, something you have to check every day.
The importance of pH, because I never had an issue with pH in the beginning. And I have learned this through other places, is the pH, or through other people on the community group. And this is totally a guess, but it seems like an educated guess because it seems like everyone is. Lots of people have talked about this. The water supply in your area, that pH changes with the seasons. So in the beginning, I kind of stopped doing the checking the pH because I wasn't ever having an issue. So I would do my nutrients, I would do my water, and then I would test the pH and it was always fine. And so then I would skip a couple weeks. Then all of a sudden, I was checking again and the pH was super high. Huh. And it was like the season changed.
Wow.
And so
that's really
interesting. I don't fool too much with it. Like I just, if it's high, I throw a half a scoop in and call it a day. Yeah, I don't retest it or anything like that. But
yep, I'm in the same boat.
So going to like a weekly maintenance schedule.
Yeah. So then,
I only look at my roots on my weekly maintenance.
And I haven't looked at mine recently, but I know I need
and
to.
And I don't do it every week.
Yeah.
So okay. I will say every like once couple a month weeks or so. I do it.
Yeah. That's about right.
I will say one dangerous thing that I do every week now, actually I've always done, is I do kind of just do a spot check around each ring to make sure that all of the pots look like they're moist.
Yeah.
Because I know.
That's such a bad word.
Damp. It's not much better.
Wet?
So actually it's funny because my son Brayden says, will say moist to like annoy me.
Oh my gosh, my kids do that. And my husband does that. And my niece has done that since she was five. It drives me crazy.
So that is your fail safe, I would say. At that point, it's been too long, but yeah, I have discovered a few dry pods and one of two things has happened. One is the actual grow medium has popped out a little bit too much. And so it's not hitting where the water falls.
Oh, interesting.
So you just stick it back
pop that
there.
Back in. Okay.
Glad no one can see my, see this. Anyway, the other is that roots have grown from above and have mm-hmm. clogged your holes and the water is not getting to the plant below. Yeah. So that's when you have not maintenance your roots in a while. But every couple weeks I pull the pods out.
It's actually kind of fun too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's also like, my kids like to play with them. Like we like to look at them together and see how thick and crazy things have gotten. They've been mm-hmm. a lot better since I took my big zucchini out because that one was like massive. But I've seen mm-hmm. some people talk about like, what do you do when they're growing together? Like also everybody says, just cut one third of the root. Well, do you cut one third of what? Like, how do you know how long it's supposed to be before you cut one third of the roots?
First of all, I chopped the heck out of those things and I have ripped two plants apart and it has not caused a problem. Like when they're that massive, I really don't think it's an issue. And I think where I discovered it's not as big of a deal is when I tried to ruin my cucumber plant.
Really?
So the one thing I'm pretty like, crazy face, not like careful about when I'm maintaining. I kind of pull them around and like, but I had opened moved the actual ring. So turned it to unlock and pulled it off to maintenance something. Cause you can pull the whole obviously thing off. And I have a table right next to mine, which makes it easier. So I can set the whole thing on. When I put the ring back on, I wasn't careful and I had caught the root system of my cucumber plant between the rings.
Oh, geez.
And when I went to turn it, I could hear the rip and the whole root system broke off of a very healthy and vibrant cucumber plant.
Wow.
I almost tossed the whole thing because I was so sad. And within 30 minutes, the whole thing was wilted and gross and the flowers were starting to fall off and get crispy. And I left it and it repaired itself. It grew new roots. So I did lose a decent amount of fruit, but it came back. And that was my initial shipment in the beginning of June or at the end of May. And it is still producing fruit today in October.
Jeez, so that's amazing.
Plants are resilient. So be careful, but you don't have to be precious about it.
Right. That's a perfect place to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So we're back and we're talking about root maintenance and how to not kill your plants, but also how to not kill other plants because you didn't try to take care of your roots. So here's something I wish you could do. When we first got our farm stand and first learned about roots, we were so excited. And I was like, look at these beautiful, fibrous, gorgeous roots. And I cut them and I was like, let's make a bird nest out of them. We could maybe sell these sometime. Like, I'm trying to help my kids figure out ways that things they can do that are creative to make money for themselves, because I'm sick of spending mine on toys. But so I made this like really sweet little bird nest, and we have all these, our backyard's basically like a natural aviary. It's crazy. And I made this little nest, and guess what? They dissolve.
Oh,
your roots turn into like dust when they dry
out. Interesting.
Yeah. A little bit of a bummer, because you can't do anything crafty with it, but just toss those things right in your compost pile or in your green bin, or yeah, whatever the natural one is.
I don't yet have a compost bin, and that is on my list of things to do, but I have, because mine is right near the side of my house, just around the corner, I have a big pail and I toss like the things that I prune. And so I toss leaves in there too. So I haven't really noticed the roots, but I'll have to take a look. Sometimes I just throw them right on the ground. So
I do that all the time. My husband gets so mad. He's like, can you just clean this stuff up?
Well, sometimes I'm just start going crazy. So I also look, I will say, and I can't remember who it was, but I saw someone on Instagram who pulls her plants out. She does it every single week, and she chops those freaking roots all the way. So her roots always are like right at the cup, and her plants look beautiful. So
what?
I'm sure you wouldn't want them to grow 6 inches and then do that.
Right.
But possibly you don't need them to grow very long. Like maybe really if you do maintain them, it would keep your water stand cleaner inside over time. But I don't know if that's more maintenance than I want to put. Cause that,
yeah,
we say, you know, that you say 10 minutes a week. Obviously I spend more time on mine cause I'm out there just looking at it, but I think it only really does need 10 minutes a week.
Yeah.
But I would say I spend 20 minutes on the weeks that I do a root trim and I go through and prune. And I don't know if that's for this episode or not, but I do prune, you know, probably not every week, but every other week I kind of go through.
I kind of prune all the time.
All the time.
I keep a pair of scissors outside now.
I mean, I'll cut things off when I'm out there, not just necessarily when I'm maintaining, but I go through and purposely look least once every other week, especially the like nightshades. So I go through with the suckers.
What is that?
What is
a sucker?
This might be something I have to try to, cause I'm really anal about them. So I don't know if I can find a picture, but you could to put on Instagram. If I can get a picture, I'll show you. But I'll put it on Instagram if I can find one. But if not, Google tomato sucker. And it is the little, so where the branch V's out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your main stalk, and then you have the stalks that come out that will fruit.
Yeah.
So in the elbow of those two stalks, you will see, it's very common with tomatoes, but it also happens on the nightshade. So the eggplants, the peppers, those kinds of things. You'll see a little thing that starts to sprout in that elbow. And you think, oh, it's another stalk that I can get more fruit off. They do not fruit. They just take nutrients from your plant. So that's what you want to go in and pinch those off. And they're super, you don't have to prune them because they're super like tender. You can just pinch them off. That should make you should get more fruit that way. You should get bigger fruit that way. So that I used to do in my dirt garden.
That sounds like, and again, it's like popping a pimple. It's like something
someone who likes to pick, to pick. But you go through and you take those off, and that will help you. A lot of the plants need to be, even like the zucchini, the eggplant, like you need to take the leaves, extra excessive leaves off to get the bigger fruit. Yeah,
I saw that you have to, we could do like a whole day on just pruning, but there's some great videos on the Let Us Grow website about when to prune and how to prune. But some of them are like, okay, well, that's great for that plant, but how does that affect this plant? Or there's not enough information on there. So my zucchini like was so big at one point, it was shading and shadowing like everything else.
Yes.
So I had to clip those off and my zucchini stalk kind of grew really long and then really, really down to the ground.
Yes.
But then I got, you know, those beautiful little bugs planting their little eggs in my things and I got miners. So it was like, I had miners. So then it's like, okay, well, do I cut off the affected leaves? Well, then I realized you don't eat the leaf of the zucchini plant. I mean, maybe you do, right, but I don't. So I don't necessarily need to trim them for leaf miners unless they're going to affect the fruit or something you eat or contaminate something else. Right.
I think the danger is it's spreading and destroying your leaves, because if they destroy the leaves, then they can't, the leaf is where it processes the sunlight, right, and all of that. So I think the little bit of them are fine.
Okay. So that's good to know. I kind of killed.
And an update on that, the leaf miners, I did find something. I sent you that. So I know people have talked about this on the group, but I have never, I always thought it was a pesticide, and it's not. So the one that I found is called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. It is, so I'm going to butcher this, the Spinosin A and Spinosad D.
Yes. Okay.
This is a mixture of the two. I thought those were pesticides. They are not. They are for organic farming.
Really?
So, yes. So for organic gardening, it says. And these are for, remember we talked about, there's nothing for caterpillars. There's nothing for leaf miners. This says, cute. Caterpillars, codling moth, gypsy moth, loopers, leaf miners, spider mites, tent caterpillars, thirps, and more. So I've yet to spray it, but that is an update on that part. So people who actually know what they're doing, who listened to last week's episode, were screaming this at us, but we have discovered.
I don't even know what that means.
So the brand that I found was Captain Jack's.
Okay.
Dead Bug Brew that I found actually at my local little indoor plant haven, where, side note, I met a girl who was working there that worked for Lettuce Grow.
That is so bananas.
So, yeah. Anyway.
That's crazy. That's amazing though. I'm going to have to, I think you did send me that link the other day, but we'll have to post that link in the description notes because, if people don't have it, maybe they should. I need to buy it. I found two monsters on my lettuce and was like, why, what happened to my romaine plant? Oh, I'll tell you what happened to my romaine plant. These two huge, you know, those little tiny green wormy things that are not potato, tomato bugs, but the other ones, they had gotten so big. They must have eaten like two leaves or something. They were like an inch long. And
that's
so
crazy.
Picked it up and I tossed it and he like stood up on his back legs and was like, where's my plant?
Oh my gosh.
It was weird.
One made its cocoon on the side of my stand, like just like attached itself to the stand. It had all the like hairy stuff. The other update to our last, we're going to have to do a whole nother like wrap up of pests, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because we were like, oh, and what else is friendly? I think grasshoppers are friendly. I looked it up. Grasshoppers are not friendly. I'm the devil. Dumb. They're horrible. And I go out and say hi to mine sitting on my lettuce plant every morning. Oh, aren't you cute? Yeah, he's eating all of your lettuce. So
if you're
not nice, you kill them. If you are nice, you put it in a jar and you walk it down to a park and put it somewhere else. But
put it in your neighbor.
I just shoot it away because it was so giant from probably eating the lettuce.
There was a spider. I can't remember who the person was, but there was a person months ago that posted a spider that was probably among the more creepy things I've ever seen in my life. She named it Gaga. And my kids still go, oh, there's a Gaga spider, mom. There's a Gaga spider. And I'm always like, where? Like, I don't want to see it. But I actually lost half of my tomato plant to some kind of spider infestation.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. It was webs, though. It wasn't spider mites. It was like it built webs all the way around part of my tomato plant.
That's so weird.
I was like, I'm just going to take it off and get rid of it.
I usually have my phone with me when I'm maintaining the stand, and I didn't yesterday, and I wish I had, because I discovered this thing that looked like a flying tadpole. It was so weird, and it wasn't big. It was tiny, but it was the weirdest, and I just shook my, I think it was actually a lettuce that I had taken off.
Oh my goodness. I just
shook it and made it fly away, but I'll take a picture if I see another one. Oh, God knows what that thing is.
Yeah, again,
we talk about all these pests, but at the end of the day, it still doesn't seem to be anywhere near what I ever had with a dirt garden.
And it's also, it's not a deterrent. It's not going to stop me. It's not going to, pests bug me, and pests are like pests. That's where they get their name, but they're not going to change my mind and make me not want to grow. Like, I still right. love my tower, my nutty exactly. girl. So anyway, just to wrap up really quickly, because we both have obligations today still.
Responsibilities.
Responsibilities. I have piano lessons coming up here for my kids.
We can't just sit and chat about our farm stands all day as much as we would like to.
Oh, wait. Yes, we can. It's all them that have the problem blocking up our time. No, but we really could probably talk about this for way longer, like, you know, way longer than is necessary. But just to wrap up, your roots do need to be trimmed. They need to be trimmed in a healthy way. Another thing that they do, if your roots on the bottom get too long, they can block up your entire pump. But you do want to trim your roots, especially on the bottom. You might also, in advance of having a stand, you may want to understand this first. You can take the top of your stand off and clean out the like little sprinkler head thing. Mine gets roots up in there. So it's pulling them in.
I don't know how that happens.
I think it's pulling them in from the bottom and pushing them straight up that pipe. And then it gets stuck at the top.
And that's a good point outside of the roots. Like that, it definitely for that reason, but learn what your stand sounds like.
Absolutely.
Because when it doesn't slows sound right, down, check yep. that. That's the first place to check. And if it
absolutely.
Gets bad, then you want to clean out your actual pump. But yes. That top part is where to start.
Yes. That's absolutely right. You want to make sure that it sounds the way it's supposed to sound. It should sound really happy and healthy and similar to how it was when you first set it up. It'll dampen a little bit as you actually have roots for the water to go through. But you really do want to make sure that your pump is working properly, that it's not getting blocked up, that it's not, you know, that there's no particles in it or anything. And if there is, it's a pretty easy fix. You just take the top off, take the very top of your stand off. You pull the PVC pipe up. I tried doing this once without taking it off. That's why I'm making a big deal about it. You pull the PVC pipe up and the pump will come with it. It has a little like grate on it and there's a little shifter button. If you move that around, it'll kind of accumulate and then you can take it out. Yeah. My arms don't, I don't know if they're not long enough to reach the bottom of the basin.
Nope. It's same.
Is that what it is? So
I would like that to be addressed in Jacob. In a redesign. Yeah,
that's a good point.
It's a lot of us ladies here that don't have long arms. We would like to be able to access our pump easier.
Absolutely. It is a little bit of a trek. And again, we were having dinner with our friends and they said, he was like, oh, I just picked the pump up. No problem. I was like, well, you're like a 6'1" guy. Like I'm 5'6".
You'll discover it also when you reset you can't actually reach in there and clean the bottom either.
Absolutely. That is a really good point. On that note too, speaking of heights, I heard back from our friend with the cabbage. She's 5'3".
Oh yes.
She's not a tiny person. She's 5'3".
No, she's not. Yeah, she's exactly. Normal. Yes. She's a normal sized person. So it
was a totally normal sized person. So that's one impressive cabbage. And my cabbage, which I have down there right now, has just been eaten alive and I have nothing left.
No, I just ordered mine. So we'll try the Captain Jack's on it. One quick thing about the pump also, you can, if you don't want to take the whole thing out, you can try first grabbing up by the PVC pipe and tapping it really hard onto the bottom. That will That's get it running again. I have heard a couple horror stories, so I think I'm going to invest in a backup pump just in case.
Yes.
Because
yes,
if it takes you 2 weeks to get it, you're kind of like, there goes all your plants.
Which also happened to the same friends we had dinner with the other night. He was like, the pump broke. And he's like, I had no idea. And it took me 2 weeks. And he said he ended up buying one. He got one on Amazon for like $30. So he bought a backup.
I think it's worth it.
I think so.
Before we close, I would like to give our first, just for the hell of it, shout out. My girlfriend Callie Griebel bought her stand and it would arrive this week. She set it up and you'll all, if you're on the community page, will all be familiar with her because she is already super active. It makes me like a proud mama. She's posting all over the place, answering questions.
I love it.
Best of luck to you, Callie. She's here in San Diego, but she is in a hotter climate than I am. So I'm really interested in getting her feedback and maybe at some point we'll have her come on. She also is a professional photographer. So I am anticipating some awesome pictures of her farm stand.
We'll have to put her in the notes so we can all follow her too. And if you're not following Letty and Lucy yet, or you know, the name of the show is growing with Letty and Lucy, but it's just kind of become Letty and Lucy. But if you're not following us yet on Instagram, make sure that you do. There's lots of extra content and information there. It is just at LettyandLucy. And remember too, that if you do not own a farm stand yet and you want to buy one, use the code Letty and Lucy with an ampersand, LETTY LUCY, and you will get up to $72 worth of free seedlings. Your babies can be free if you use our code. So we love what we do. We love you guys for listening and we really are grateful. Do you have anything else to say in closing, Tara?
I'm good. I don't need anything.
Cool. So if you have any extra information, you know the drill, you can leave it on the Facebook community page where we post the new updates every week anyway, or you can DM us at Letty and Lucy on Instagram. Just send us a DM or a Facebook post and we would love to hear from you. We also are gearing up to have a couple guests on. We got some fun ones brewing. And that's it. Hope you guys all have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Oh, shoot. Did we just do the Kara and Georgia?